Welcome into hour two of First Up, brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. A beautiful Friday morning in Southern Ontario with some terrific music spun by our man, 20 Fingers. What's up?
No, today is going to be an incredible day.
Not your worst. Well done. Well done.
Incredible, yes.
And I think this day would be improved if we got some clarity from William Nylander and the Maple Leafs that he's playing tomorrow night. And I think we're on track to get news like that. Maybe not today. Maybe Sheldon Keefe and the Leafs play some mind games. Oh, we don't know if he's in. But it does sound like he is tracking for a return in game number four on Saturday night. Yesterday, the word around Nylander was that he's been dealing with migraines. This is something that has been a problem for him in the past. And when he woke up following the final regular season game on that Thursday morning in Tampa Bay, or maybe they were back in Toronto, that's what he was dealing with. And I suppose the protocols from there involve concussion-related symptoms. Not sure necessarily the two are intertwined. Sheldon Keefe was asked about that yesterday in his media availability.
I think, yeah, we made it clear at the beginning we're not going to comment on whether it's Willie or any other player on their status or their situation this time of year especially. But, obviously we've been working with Willie to give him the time that he needs to be ready to play. And medical team works with him on a daily basis to see where he's at and continue to assess that.
Sheldon Belichick, welcome back. What was your reaction to some of the reports about Nylander?
Not surprised at all. I mean, this is some of the stuff that I was hearing about what he was dealing with going back a week ago and all the speculation that led from it. Obviously, it was confirmed yesterday. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm a guy myself that deals with migraines on a monthly basis. I got a couple a month. And they're not fun. They are not fun. I'm still trying to get different treatments, still trying to get different, advice and to figure it out and see how I can avoid them. But when you get them, they're not fun.
And debilitating. Very debilitating.
And I think the word used when this announcement came out was dealing with severe migraines. And I know how intense mine get on some days, and they are debilitating. Like it's not fun. And so I respect what Nylander's going through. I can understand some of the difficulty that he's dealing with. And I also respect the Maple Leafs for, doing their best to try to keep this as private as possible to protect both Nylander and his health situation. It just, the timing of this sucks.
Awful timing. It's unbelievable timing. The guy didn't miss a game for eight years. Eight years.
And apparently, Nylander admitted that this was something common that he's dealt with multiple times throughout his career, which is why he went to a tinted visor to try to, help with some of the symptoms or some of the regularities that he deals with. And all I hope is that he finds a way to get back fully healthy and finds a way to get back to helping this team be competitive and hopefully win, because they miss him. They need him. They miss him. And he could be a huge boost to this team. And I truly believe what Chris Johnson said yesterday. I believe that the necessary time he's taken is probably going to allow him to be back and ready to play Saturday. And, when you're dealing with a head injury, there's certain protocols that you have to go through. And that's clearly what he was going through, trying to get himself ready to play. So I just hope everything that everyone's been trying to speculate over the last couple of days, even some of the stuff that was suggested, like the benching or, discipline or whatever it is, just all nonsense.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, the guy had 98 points. If you're sitting him down, you got a bigger problem than just that. But for the Leafs, a team that scored two goals or fewer in nine of its past 10 playoff games, inserting Nylander back into the lineup would be a huge boost. The power play has been utter trash so far in this series. They're 1-for-11 against the Bruins. Nylander, getting him back would be massive for Toronto, especially because of how good the Boston Bruins goaltending is and has been. Now, we don't know if Jeremy Swayman or Linus Allmark will start tomorrow night. I guess the expectation would be that it will be Allmark because the Bruins rotate their goalies. And Jim Montgomery, the coach of the Boston Bruins, yesterday was asked about Jeremy Swayman having Toronto's number, which I don't think is outlandish. And when you consider what Swayman's done against the Leafs, a 9.59 save percentage against Toronto in five games, 5-0 against Toronto in those five games, maybe you could consider that as a possibility. Here's Montgomery addressing that.
Yeah, sometimes I don't think that, but, you know, when Domi goes off the bench and bumps him on purpose, makes me think that maybe he's in their head a little bit.
The Domi bump didn't seem to bother Swayman, of course, at all. What is it about his mental makeup that allows him to kind of brush that sort of stuff off?
Ultra competitive. Like, if anyone's as close to Marchie on our team as competitive fire, it's him.
I don't know what I believe.
Stretch.
That in their head. I think the Maple Leafs are in their own head. Never mind Swayman being in their head. I don't think there's any player on the Boston Bruins that is something the Maple Leafs constantly think about on a daily basis. Yeah, Brad Marchand, the game that he had yesterday, is probably something that the Maple Leafs had a hard time sleeping, through the night after. Swayman's not in the Maple Leafs' head. The Maple Leafs are in their own head. And the reason why they're in their own head, because today they're probably going to the rink after an off day yesterday, and they're being reminded that in 10 straight games, they haven't scored more than 3 goals. And only in one of those 10 games, they did score 3. That's what's in their head. You know what else is in their head? Their power play sucks.
Awful.
That's what's in their head. You know what else is in their head? They haven't won a home game in their last 5 games. Jeremy Swayman is not in the Maple Leafs' head. And if Jeremy Swayman is in the Maple Leafs' head, they've lost this series.
So Sheldon Keefe addressed what Montgomery said yesterday as well with regards to Swayman and the idea of him being in Toronto's head.
I said it's zero frustration, and I think it's playoff hockey, and things are happening all over the ice. You know, I think with that logic, you would say every time they bump into one of our guys, maybe we're in their heads. I don't think that has anything to do with anything.
And let's also acknowledge Swayman took the biggest dive
in
recent memory. The guy
tried to draw a penalty.
Oh, like Neo in the Matrix. Yeah. Like, relax, Swayman.
Neo,
you tried to draw
Matrix.
A penalty. You're exactly right. And I wouldn't call it a bump. I would call it a jostle. Domi jostled Jeremy Swayman. Not a bump.
Okay.
That's a stretch. And Swayman took a dive trying to draw a penalty. This is much ado about nothing. But what you said about the Leafs' inability to score, that is really important. Inability to score, excuse me. Very, very important. And is Nylander the remedy as to what ails this team? I mean, I would be a little bit hesitant to be like, oh, Nylander's back. Like, this guy hasn't played now in 8 days. You're stepping into game number 4 of a playoff series. William Nylander is an extraordinarily talented hockey player. But you would think that, is Nylander like full go tomorrow if he's in the lineup, like 20 minutes, first unit power play, he's playing his normal role, or maybe they ease him in a little bit?
No, if he's ready to play, I mean, he's going back into his normal role if he's ready to play. I would imagine the last couple of days, this guy has still stayed active, whether it's in gym activities or on ice activity. This is part of the protocol. The protocol is do a high-intensity workout and see what symptoms follow. That's literally what they do when they treat a concussion. So I would imagine if he declares himself ready to go, which I believe would happen, and if he doesn't declare himself ready to go for Saturday, I really believe we won't see William Nylander for the rest of the series.
Like, he's got to play tomorrow.
That's where we've come to. Like, if we understand what he's been dealing with right now, because it was revealed yesterday, and after a full week of being off, and even a couple of days more since the last game, now you're going into game 4. How could you believe after all this time that he would be ready to go in game 5, 6, or 7 if it gets
a couple
extra
days?
Play,
this has to be it. And again, they play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday in these 5, 6, 7, assuming they're all required. We hope they're all required.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we're going to find a lot of it practice today. I think
I read something too yesterday that Nolan Patrick
former prospect for the
number two overall
pick for the Philadelphia Flyers, who then got traded to Vegas. This is something. This was an injury that derailed his career. Like, he had to call it a career early because of some of these battles that he was going through with the head. And look, when you're dealing with a head injury, man, there really is no timeline. Zero. It's, you know, it's a serious thing, especially when we talk about all the, you know, the life after hockey trauma that some players go through with their head. I told you, I still deal with it. I got to manage my own migraines that I deal with on a monthly basis. And
you have to
and
talk look, to me. I can only imagine the migraines that.
That's where I get it from. You know, that. Having to listen to you and talk to you on a daily basis. Mm-hmm, but
that'll do it.
At the end of all this, the only thing I hope for is that William Nylander finds a way to get back to 100% health. Hopefully he can find a way to get back into this lineup for this Maple Leafs team, and hopefully he can help lead them to a series victory. And at the end of the day, it'll be a happy situation for everybody involved, including Willie. And we just hope that he finds a way to come back. We're wishing the best for him. And hopefully tomorrow night's the night we see him back in blue and white.
We'll get Darren Dreger's thoughts on this when he joins us in 30 minutes. Last night in the NHL, Florida beats Tampa 5-3. Florida up 3-0 on the Lightning. Wow. Did not really see that coming. Also, Carolina, something I did see coming, takes a 3-0 lead over the Islanders.
I think Carolina was a series we expected. Okay, we know Carolina's going to win this series. Maybe the Islanders might get a game or two, but they'll find a way to win this series. 3-0 is a little bit of a surprise to me in both series, more in the Tampa-Florida series than in the Carolina-Islanders series. And I think the surprise, I'm going to ask you, JK, what's the more surprise? The fact that Tampa's down 3-0 or Florida is up 3-0?
I think it's got to be Tampa, because think about how hot they were down the stretch. Yeah. We looked at them, maybe it was more so me, I'm like, Tampa can win the Stanley Cup. They have the pedigree. Mm-hmm. You add Duclair and Dumba at the deadline. Vasilevsky looks back. And that just hasn't been the case. And I think the credit has to go to Florida.
Yeah.
And like, think about just how deep that team is up front. Like, they're getting contributions from everybody. Like, Montour had a huge night. Bobrovsky's looked really good for them as well. They're tough out, man. I wouldn't envy anyone else to go up against them.
And that's why I'm going to say the surprise to me is Florida being up 3-0, because they're proving right now that last year wasn't a fluke.
No way.
Right?
Not even
with the
close.
with the way Bobrovsky is playing, with the style of hockey that they're playing, the dominance that they're showing against Tampa at certain stretches of every game that they showed. I remember in game one, Tampa didn't even have a shot on net for the first 15 minutes of that first period. And they just find ways. Like yesterday, they're up 1-0, they go down 2-1. You're thinking, okay, if Tampa's gonna get rolling here, Tampa hits the post to go up 3-1. And then seconds later, Reinhart goes down and ties the game 2-2, and they just completely take over the rest of the game, and they leave Tampa with a 3-0 series lead. I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know what Florida's doing? Florida's sending a message to the rest of the league that they're serious about making another run right now. That this is a statement series for them, because, again, they're proving last year that wasn't a fluke, and everything that came to the forefront last year, you know, Tkachuk leading the way, which again he did last night, scoring 2 goals. Bobrovsky being, you know, playoff Bob, bullying you, which is what they've been doing in this series too. Now, they've lost Bennett, but it seems like they haven't missed a beat losing Bennett, because they just moved Lundell up and they add Okpozo to the lineup, who has a big game yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
I couldn't believe that Okpozo, who like, was your team in Buffalo, right? Okpozo?
No, I never played with him.
He signed the
year I left.
Oh, okay. I mean, that guy's been around forever. One of John Tavares' old teammates on the island. So shout out to Okpozo, who slides in, has a point, and in his fourth line debut for the Panthers in place of Bennett, who we'll ask Darren Dreger about his status when he could return to the lineup. Sounds like it's going to be a long absence with a hand injury. Maybe.
Well, they said 1 week. I find it hard to believe after you saw the injury. The guy blocked a shot in his hands or in the hand area, whether it's wrist, hand, finger, whatever it is, and he left the bench basically dragging his arm. He gets to the bench, he looks at it, and then just starts slamming everything on the bench on his way off the bench. And you got to think, if it's something broken, it's not going to be 1 week.
Jody Shelley, longtime NHLer. He was on the call last night for the Panthers and the Lightning. He's going to join us in an hour. He's also on the call tomorrow night, Leafs and Bruins, game four for TNT. Dreger in 25 minutes. We'll play Pigeon or Peacock on the other side. And in the 8 a.m. hour, we will be announcing the winner of the TSN 1050 giveaway for game four tickets. So if you text it in at any point in time over the last 48 hours, for those tickets, you're going to want to listen to every moment in the 8 a.m. hour because your name could be called. Hour two continues.
PSA. PSA. Pigeon service announcement.
It's time to ruffle some feathers.
F***ing pigeon.
This is Pigeon.
Pigeons don't do a whole lot. They're kind of just annoying.
Or Peacock.
I am a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
So the Jays lose 2-1 yesterday in a truncated game due to a rain situation in Kansas City. They're at 500, 13-13 on the year, but they come home and they've got a matchup against Shohei Ohtani and the LA Dodgers. 7:07 first pitch with Chris Bassett on the hill for Toronto. Would Blue Jays fans, Carlo, be pigeons or peacocks if they booed Ohtani at his first plate appearance?
Absolute pigeons. Why? Why would you boo Ohtani? The guy did nothing wrong. You need to boo when they post Atkins. John Morosi's picture on the Jumbotron. They need to boo John Morosi. John Morosi's the guy that led Blue Jays fans into a completely different direction, not
and
Shohei Ohtani.
The guy who reported that Kikuchi was hosting a sushi party for 50 people. Those two people should be booed.
Yes.
I mean, don't cheer Ohtani either because he's probably going yard. Have you seen his numbers lately? Like,
yeah.
He is on a tear.
Yeah.
And the Jays are going to be in tough against him. That's going to be fun. I remember when he pitched against
Alex Manoah. Who's pitching
Alex
tonight
Manoah.
For the Jays?
It's Bassett on the hill. But I remember a couple years ago, it was last year, 2 years ago, it was Manoah versus Ohtani on the mound. Like, what an incredible game that was. And it's a shame that Ohtani's not pitching, but it's a good thing for the Jays because they need to pick up some wins quick. It's been a struggle here. Losing.
Don't boo Ohtani. Like, come on. He's greatness. You need to celebrate greatness.
I can't
and
wait to
at
find
least,
out.
At least maybe plant the seed in his head that if he does decide to leave LA one day over the next ten years that he signed?
10 years.
It was a long contract. 10 years. Maybe if he wants to get out, he's like, oh, maybe Toronto is a good place. I like this ballpark. All the new renovations. The fans are pretty cool.
But they're not going to be tonight. I can't wait for this. This is going to be a hilarious night in Toronto. The reaction from Jays fans. All right, Arad, what do you got for us?
That would be the most Toronto thing, getting a 40-year-old Shohei Ohtani in the back end of his career right there.
Phil Housley, come on down.
Let's go back to hockey quickly. Is Travis Frederick a pigeon or a peacock for saying this about the Leafs, the way they're playing Brad Marchand?
He's, you know, one of our best players, and so they obviously take liberties and runs at him, and I think he's handled it pretty well. He's defended himself. I don't think he's really crossed the line. I think it's something, you know, it's more he gets under their skin and they do it to him, and he's defended himself, it seems like, lately, and he's done a really good job of that.
Well, you are a pigeon because his name is Trent Frederick, not Travis Frederick. In any case, I mean, I don't really know what. Why is Trent Frederick getting interviewed to begin with?
He's got two goals in this series.
He does. He did score the empty netter in game number one, and then he did score that
the backbreaking opening goal for the Bruins.
This is just
a la Joel Lewandowski.
Exactly. This is just like the war of words in the media, right? Where, Sheldon Keefe's complaining about Marchand, so the Bruins, I'm sure they all talk about it, what they're going to say, because it gets play on shows like these. But I think this is much ado about nothing, and I think ultimately Trent Frederick is a pigeon. And if he scores again, I'm never watching another game.
Yeah. If he scores again, then the Leafs are pigeons for letting him score again.
Enough with Trent Frederick.
I just think that this whole, like, Marchand getting under the Maple Leafs skin is a whole is a pigeon approach. Like, I don't believe the Maple Leafs are rattled by Brad Marchand. We're talking about one incident in a game that didn't get called by. If the referees blew the whistle there and they called coincidental minors, this would be a non-issue. A non-issue. But because the refs didn't call anything, it carried on. Frederick scored, And then Marshawn helps the Brush score, then assist, and then gets the game-winning goal and the empty net goal. He had a big third period. I don't think that the Leafs are taking liberties on Marshawn, especially through three games. And I don't think Marshawn's in their head either. I think this is just a built-up narrative driven by certain media members.
Let's go to basketball here. FX released the official trailer for a new show coming up called Clip, a docudrama about the former LA Clippers owner, Donald Sterling. We all remember what happened with him, so some juicy stuff there. But I want to ask you guys about the casting choices. Pigeon or Peacock for the following casting choices. Ed O'Neill, known as Jay Pritchard to younger people, Al Bundy to older people, he'll play Donald Sterling. And Lawrence Fishburne, obviously Morpheus from The Matrix, he'll play Doc Rivers. So are these casting choices Pigeon choices or Peacock choices?
I love the Al Bundy choice for Donald Sterling. Who'd you say the guy that was playing
Lawrence
Doc Rivers?
Fishburne, you know, like red pill or blue pill in The Matrix.
Lawrence.
He actually does kind of look like Doc Rivers. I think that's really good casting. I don't know what Lawrence Fishburne has been doing the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the show Blackish, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I love this guy, man.
Yeah. So I love it. That's Peacock casting for me. Well done.
Yeah. He's in John Wick. Yeah. I love Lawrence Fishburne. I think these are two great choices for this. You said it was a docudrama?
It's not a documentary. It's a drama based on real events that happened to
Peacock.
Donald Sterling.
Peacock choices for those two guys. Absolute Peacocks, yes.
I'm excited to watch it, too. I mean, Donald Sterling, awful person, but a lot of stories there from him. Is Tony Khan a pigeon or peacock for sitting in the Jaguars draft room with a neck brace on, selling an quote-unquote injury he sustained by taking a pile driver on
explain who Tony Khan is first.
Tony Khan is an executive with the Jaguars, son of the owner of the team, Shad Khan. He's also an executive for Fulham Premier League team, and he's also basically the head honcho at AEW. So, you know, a lot of hats worn by Mr. Khan.
Okay. He's an absolute pigeon for wearing a neck brace on national TV, but he's also a peacock because by wearing a neck brace, he's bringing attention to AEW, where he's the head honcho of. Because everyone's asking, why is he wearing a neck brace? Well, what's the first thing people are going to do? They're going to Google it and see that he got pile-drived in AEW and he's nursing an injury right now. So he's a pigeon for wearing the neck brace because you can't imagine he's that injured. If he's wearing a neck brace, he probably should be in a hospital bed or at home somewhere just resting, not in a draft room. But he's a peacock for bringing attention to his wrestling league.
How about Jacksonville too? I mean, they move up to get Brian Thomas, the receiver.
So that's a guy I was told that the Bills were eyeing at the 28th pick, and because he went, it changed their draft.
And they let Ridley walk, so they had a void there. But I think that's a really nice move for Jacksonville, not paying Ridley the absurd amount of money that Tennessee paid him, and they get a quality guy who could very well fill the same void. As Ridley. We got time for one more. Ron.
Speaking of absurd amount of money, how about the Eagles and the money they paid A.J. Brown, who was a big-time distraction to that locker room at the end of the season? And, like, that's got to be a pigeon move by the Eagles, no?
What's the alternative? To not pay A.J. Brown and have him even more disgruntled than he was last year?
Well, didn't that guy disrupt that whole locker room last year?
I don't know, but I wasn't in the locker room. I don't know, but he was not happy about the way that the offense was going, and I don't think anybody in Philadelphia was. They were 10-1, and they just limped in the second half of the year. But they
went
paid,
full 18-wheeler is what they did.
They paid Devontae Smith, and they paid A.J. Brown. And those guys are both studs. Now
they're studs.
It's on Philly to do what they did 2 years ago as opposed to do what they did last year. So we're going to find out what type of deal that is. But yeah, a big ticket for A.J. Brown.
Last one for me, boys. Are the 49ers pigeons or peacocks for dangling Ayuk and Samuel to move into first round or possibly top of the second round?
Look, this is a team that lost another heartbreaker in the Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't understand. Like, but the Ayuk one, I can understand. They don't want to pay him the money he's asking for. And yes, dangling him to try to recoup some draft assets. But this whole Deebo Samuel thing, like, we clearly see how important Deebo Samuel is to that roster when he plays and when he doesn't play. That offense is completely different when he doesn't play. So unless there's something going on behind the scenes of, you know, egos combating each other, I don't understand the Deebo Samuel stuff, but credit to the 49ers. This is a team that is not scared to make bull moves, and they're finding a way to do that again. And I don't know if they'd
or not do it. I mean, or they not didn't do it. They didn't make any trades. I mean, and dangling, who knows? Like, man, this is all just like exactly like one person tells another person, oh, this is what they're trying to do, and now that becomes fact. We have no idea how serious this dangling was with regards to either Ayuk or Samuel. Now, Ayuk has been on the block for a long time, and there's been a lot of speculation around him entering his final year of the deal, and they drafted a guy in Ricky Pearsall from Florida who could very well be Ayuk's direct replacement if he's traded or if he walks next offseason. So I think what San Fran did was really nice yesterday, and if they do decide to move one of those guys today in a trade, wouldn't be that surprised at all. Now, Samuel, I'd be more surprised by than Ayuk, because that was kind of the first time we heard Deebo Samuel's name. We'll talk more NFL draft with Mark Dominic in about an hour and 10 minutes. Again, we have the announcement for our Game 4 Leaf and Bruins tickets. We're going to give those away in the 8 a.m. hour as well. And our hockey insider, Darren Dreger, in 12 minutes. This is Hour 2 of First Up. TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger, the latest on William Nylander's status ahead of Game 4 tomorrow night, Leafs and Bruins down at Scotiabank Arena. We've been talking about the legacy of Bob Cole, who passed away at the age of 90, and the irony of us talking about Trent Frederick's goal, which was very reminiscent of Joe Nieuwendyk's goal back in the 2004 playoffs against Ottawa. I'm sitting next to you. I'm like, dude, that's Nieuwendyk on the lean, 2.0. And the date was April 20th, 2004. I remember it because last year we were talking about that being the last time the Maple Leafs advanced past the first round in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Toronto was playing Ottawa. Nieuwendyk, his second of two very questionable goals on Patrick Laline coming off the wing. Here's how it sounded as called by Bob Cole.
And for Bob with 27 seconds left in this, the first period. That one was too high for the breeze. Here's Nieuwendyk again. Scores again. Right through Laline. Two in a row for Nieuwendyk. What's going on?
What's going on?
Bob Cole. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. One of the great broadcasters of hockey history passes away yesterday, and at 90 years old, and it just it really brought the hockey community together, because it was just a cherished memory that was revealed yesterday of how Bob Cole impacted so many great hockey moments, and obviously how many great hockey players involved in those hockey moments. And it was just an amazing tribute throughout the whole social media universe. You know, TSN did a great tribute of him also. So I think it's only fair for us to do a great tribute of Bob Cole and listen to some of his great calls. And at 25 years, let's start with the first one that impacted me. And I shared this on social media yesterday on, you know, there was a time in my career early as a Maple Leaf where I was just reckless and just hitting everything in sight. And one of the biggest hits I've ever laid in my career was on Bill Guerin. And luckily for me, it was Bob Cole on the call of it. Let's listen to it.
Couldn't wait long enough. And just nails Bill Guerin.
It's like Ryan Reeves laying out Boston Bruins in game number three on Wednesday night. Yeah, that was a huge, huge hit that you laid on Bill Guerin. And, you know, when he sits back as the general manager of the Minnesota Wild contemplating life, he probably thinks back to that night. He's like, man, I wish I kept my head up through the offensive zone, and Kolejak didn't just destroy me. But it goes beyond the Leaf stuff, right? I mean, for Bob Cole, he was the voice of the Olympics as well. We think back to 2002, Canada's triumph over the United States, and how unbelievable Joe Sakic was in that tournament, winning the MVP. And a lot of people will remember the Mario Lemieux through the legs, kind of stepping over, and Paul Kariya ripping it past. I believe it was Mike Richter in 2002 for the Americans, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe, Rod, you want to check that out. But here's the closing goal, essentially, for Joe Sakic to take out the Americans back in 02.
Trying through center. Iginla missed a clearing chance. Housley dropped it back. Canada trying to hang on and get a break. It's going to be a break. It is Joe Sakic. Scores! Gio Sakic scores! And that makes it 5-2 Canada. Surely that's got to be it. That's more than enough.
Oh, man. So I got good. Goosebumps, man. Joe Sakic!
What a show Sakic put on in that tournament. By the way, I did watch the Amazon documentary. I forget what it's called, Finding Sakic or something like that.
Oh, I gotta see that.
It was good. Yes. It was good. It's worth watching. And it was Mike Richter versus Marty Brodeur in that gold medal game. And I'll never forget where it was, the Lemieux play where he let the Chris Pronger pass go through his legs, and Kariya has that tap-in goal past Richter. I mean, it's one of my favorite highlights in hockey history. Mm. And just such a cool team to think back on. And hopefully, as early as next year, we get some best-on-best that could hopefully replicate that, because Canada, U.S., and the gold medal game, nothing like it. That's good as it gets.
No, nothing like it at all. And that was an amazing call, man.
So good.
Gio Sakic!
Yes, and if I can recall, like the camera pans to Gretzky, who was the architect of that team, just like celebrating in the box.
Celebrating, yeah.
Everyone's going crazy. We won the gold. So good.
Well, because when that team was constructed, there was a lot of concern that not only concern, but there was some skeptics saying, you know, Gretzky with no managerial experience, why is this guy leading the Canadian team? Well, when he celebrated that goal, that was him getting the middle finger to everybody who questioned him because he put together a great squad. But, well, let's listen to another great call. One last one. It was Matt Sundin's 500th NHL goal, and I was in the building for that one. Let's listen to this one.
He nearly lost it. Tanguay did lose it. And Sundin is up there. Two goals on the night. Matt Sundin wins the game with 500 in this terrific career. The captain of the Maple Leafs has this crowd going nuts in the Air Canada Center. Sundin.
Oh, awesome.
Were you playing in that game?
I was not. I was actually hurt in that game. I watched it from the press box, but let's just say the party after was well worth it.
He would have scored that again. I remember it was against Calgary. Was that Kiprusoff in goal for the Flames that night?
Yes, it was.
Hat trick on Mika Kiprusoff, a Hall of Famer. That's a good way to get to number 500. Matt Sundin, what a legend. Think about how many amazing Sundin calls that Bob Cole had over his career doing all those Leaf games on Saturday night. TSN Hockey insider Darren Dreger on the other side. We'll get his memories of Bob Cole and his thoughts on the likelihood of William Nylander suiting up tomorrow night down at Scotiabank Arena. That's next.
Gio Sakic!
This is Leafs Breakfast.
So the Leafs will be back at practice this morning in the early afternoon as they prepare to take on the Boston Bruins in Game 4 tomorrow night. Willie Watch continues, as termed by our next guest. He is TSN's hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Darren, Willie Watch, day number 8. What are you anticipating today, and what do you think the likelihood is that we see Nylander in lineup tomorrow night? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You know, I feel like it's more likely this morning or today than it was earlier in the week. And really, that's based on, Nylander skating as hard as he did on, what day was it? Wednesday, I guess, right? I mean, he went through the morning skate. He took some line rushes on that third line and then stayed out with the healthy scratches for an extended period to, again, push himself to see how he felt and how he responded after that. And, you know, obviously the Leafs are being as tight-lipped as any team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, so there hasn't been much of an update to gauge how he felt, you know, after pushing it the way that he did on Wednesday. So, you know, I think we'll hear from Sheldon Keefe today and leading up to game time, the same thing we've heard through the entire stretch in the first three games of the series, that Nylander has missed and that he is possible. But it feels like we're getting to that place where, you know, he's probably more probable than not. So let's see how it plays out. But, you know, again, many reporting what we, you know, kind of thought late last week, and that it could be head-related, migraine-related, but, you know, nobody is verifying or confirming that. And if that's the case, that explains a lot, right? Because it does explain how Nylander, you know, if it's a muscle issue or a back issue, you know, you're probably not pushing the way that he did on Wednesday. So
and you're probably finding a way to play through it too, Dre.
100%. Like, you know, there's different, you know, varieties of treatment and ways, you know, that the medical staff can get you a game ready. Maybe you're not 100% clearly, but you're well enough that you can play. And he hasn't been able to play. You know, it's not through a lack of want. Of course, Willie wants to be in the lineup, but, you know, when you're dealing with something that appears that he's dealing with, maybe it is just time that's needed for the issues to, you know, eventually subside. So, again, the Willie watch continues here for the next 36 hours anyway.
Dregs, we all hope that he returns to the lineup on Saturday and would be a huge boost to this Maple Leafs lineup that desperately needs some extra scoring punch. But if he doesn't play tomorrow, how does that make you feel about his availability for the rest of the series?
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely makes you question it. You know, but this is something I'm sure that the Maple Leafs can't rush, right? I mean, if he doesn't feel well enough to play, and obviously he doesn't, then how do you expedite that process? And you really can't. You can't. And we don't know specifically what he's feeling and what he's dealing with, aside from the speculation. And, you know, if it is migraine-related, I mean, he has some history with that. So, you know, he knows, perhaps knows what it takes, and it might just require time. That's all it is. So, you know, to say that, okay, well, if he doesn't play game four tomorrow, then I'm basically writing him off for game five and potentially the rest of the series. I can't do that, but it does make you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, if you're unavailable for the first four games of the series, the concern then from Nylander's perspective and maybe the Maple Leafs is, okay, well, it hasn't subsided to a point where he can play. So how can you be confident that he would be available for game five or the rest of the series? But, you know, again, we don't know. The Leafs don't know. And Nylander probably doesn't know at this stage.
What do we know about Bobby McMahon's status, Darren? You had some tweets about him and his potential return maybe later in the series. What's the latest on him?
Yeah, well, he's being reevaluated on a daily basis, right? We believe it's knee-related. Don't know the specifics. I've heard MCL, but I don't know, again, how significant the injury is. Significant enough that he's been out for a while. And the only thing that you'll get from sources around the Maple Leafs is that he has not been ruled out for the series. And that's the way it remains. However, again, no different than, you know, the sense that Nylander could be available tomorrow is based on how he skated on Wednesday, as I've already articulated here. You know, Bobby McMahon hasn't skated. So he's going to need at least a couple of decent skates, isn't he, before he's able to go in a playoff game. So I just can't imagine he's available for game four tomorrow. So best case scenario would be game five or game six. But he would be a significant add, right? You know, those are two primary pieces that the Maple Leafs, you know, haven't been able to utilize yet. You know, you look at the 5-on-5 contribution of Bobby McMahon in the second half of the season. The guy can skate. He's physical. He's pretty good around the net.
Can score. When
you add another layer like that, that just makes it more difficult on Swayman or Ullmark or generally on the Boston Bruins in the offensive zone. So he'll be a pretty big boost, a nice add if he's available in game five or game six.
And you look at the struggles the Maple Leafs have had scoring goals. Yeah. I mean, three or more and only once in their last 10 playoff games, which includes five straight home losses. Dregs, yesterday people were talking about, you know, is Swayman in the Maple Leafs' head? You saw both coaches comment on, is Marchand in the Maple Leafs' head? I don't think any of those things are in the Maple Leafs' head. I think that what's in the Maple Leafs' head is the fact that they need to score more goals, their power play needs to be better, and they need to find a way to get a win on home ice. Don't you agree?
Yep, all of that, yes. And, you know, as Sheldon and the players talked about post-game on Wednesday, it's not like the power play has been bad. You know, they're getting their looks. The puck movement is there. They just they can't put it in the net. And, you know, there's no excuse for that. You know, I'm not going to pile on any one particular player here, but we saw what Austin Matthews was capable of in game two. And I guess, you know, as he's elevated his playing ability, you know, you kind of learn to expect that every single night in the playoffs now from Austin Matthews. And I think that's unfair and it's unrealistic. This guy is going to need some help, and that help, you know, has got to come in the form of the power play. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be top six, top nine guys. I think the fourth line has been pretty useful for the Maple Leafs. They've been terrific. I mean, you know, they've created some opportunities. They've been real physical on the forecheck. Just in general, I think that line in the minutes they've been given by Sheldon Keefe has been good. But the bottom six has to pop a goal in here or there as well. That's just the recipe for success. But for me, it starts with, you know, having some success on that power play, getting a goal when you need that goal the most. And, you know, how many looks, how many opportunities do you get? I thought the goal that Max Domi scored the other night, was that game two, was really going to pop the cork for him, right? And then you see the opportunity that he missed in game three, where the Leafs could have scored back-to-back. Instead, you know, Marchand
stole it from behind the net, yeah.
Yeah, Marchand, you know, snaps it under the bar, and that just flipped the momentum of the game and maybe the series. If Max is able to find a hole and put that one in the net, the outcome of that game is probably different. So that's what Toronto needs. It can't be just about Austin Matthews or what Mitch Marner isn't doing. There are more than two players capable of generating offense for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Darren Dreger, our guest on Leafs Breakfast. Following Boston's Game 2 loss, they put two new defensemen in the lineup. JVR came in. I actually thought he had a lot of jump on Wednesday night, a couple of really good opportunities. Would you anticipate the Maple Leafs maybe making a lineup change beyond Nylander tomorrow night following their Game 3 loss, Darren?
Not really. I mean, what would you be thinking?
TJ Brody. Yeah, that would
Liljegren's coming out.
Yeah, I feel like Brody's coming in. Yeah, that would be my guess.
I think Liljegren's coming out.
Well, if that's the case, we're going to have to strap Jeff O'Neill's head on his shoulders because as soon as TJ Brody mismanages that puck, the O-Dog is going to explode. So, look, you know, he's got the playoff experience. You know, did we really think that TJ Brody was being exiled to the press box and was never going to resurface? No, of course not, right? I mean, he's a capable defenseman and, you know, historically has been good. Maybe there have been stretches this year where he hasn't been so good. Obviously, there's a trust issue there, or he'd be in the lineup. He would have played in the first three games of this series. That hasn't been the case. I definitely, now that we talk about it, I could see that happening because Liljegren has been a bit sketchy for me to this point.
Well, you look at the moves Boston made. They took Grizzlick out because they just think he's undersized and being overpowered in with the physicality that the Leafs are presenting. And you could almost say the same thing about Liljegren.
Yeah.
Like he's getting manhandled out there. And I know he's been good at skating the puck out at times, but you know, you look at that third goal, he loses a puck battle.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe it's not TJ Brody that comes in. Maybe it's Mark Giordano that comes in.
Maybe. Have those options, right? And that's what it's been about this year for Brad Treliving and the Maple Leafs, is making sure up front and defensively. Up front is different because you've got the status of Nylander in question. You've got Bobby McMahon, who's injured, but you have depth on that blue line.
Yeah.
So utilize it. If you're not happy with what you're seeing, you know, you don't get another chance. And look, if Toronto doesn't level this series, it becomes pretty obvious and clear, doesn't it? They're in trouble. And with the experience of Brad Marchand and the way that he elevated his game in game three, they get past it going and look out. You know, the Boston Bruins, maybe they can taste the blood in the water. It's not quite there yet. I mean, yeah. Toronto has plenty of life left, But, you know, that's where coaches earn their paychecks. It's making those decisions, not just in-game, but preparing your lineup for the next one.
Dregs, what would be more surprising to you, the fact that I tell you that Tampa Bay is down 3-0 to the Florida Panthers, or the Florida Panthers are up 3-0 on the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yeah, that Tampa Bay is down 3, love. I you know, there's still life left in the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, we know this. Again, it's all about the experience factor, the quality of the goaltending, everything that the Lightning can throw at you. I wasn't predicting upset. I think that would have been ridiculous. But I thought that there was at least potential for that in this series because of what I just said, right? You know, you do have the experience factor. And the game of Vasilevsky, I mean, he can steal games. He's done that in the playoffs. But it just hasn't, it hasn't developed for them. And I don't know what's going on at home ice with Tampa Bay, but they can't win. They can't win at Amalie, and that is staggering. It is. But now flip it
it's
over.
It's like the Leafs in Scotia.
Yeah. You know, flip it over to the Florida Panthers, and it just shows us last year was no fluke, and the regular season that the Florida Panthers had and the ads that Billy Zito brought into the equation are just paying dividends. Like, this team is built to win. And, you know, their leaders find a way to lead on the score sheet. Another big night by Matthew Tkachuk. So I guess I'm surprised that the Lightning haven't had an answer for Florida, but I'm not surprised that the Florida Panthers are as dominant as they've been.
Well, we're just one Lightning loss away, Darren, from one of the more interesting offseason debates in a long time with regards to the future of Steven Stamkos in Tampa Bay. So,
are you buying Leaf jerseys already with Stamkos?
Well, I don't know. I'm not
you
sure how
should
that
see,
would work.
Let me just share something that's on my Leafs buddies group chat. I hope Tampa loses in four so they fire Cooper. That's what's going.
Cooper.
Yes, that's what's going on my Leafs group chat with my buddies right now.
That will not be happening. But no Stamkos, his future. I mean, we'll save that for next week when Tampa's
okay,
out there.
Okay, perfect.
But for now, we'll focus on the Leafs and the Bruins game four tomorrow night. Yeah. Thank you for doing this, and we'll chat with you on Monday morning.
Okay, guys, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right,
pal.
You too. That's TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. Yeah, the Stamkos thing. The fact that they weren't interested in. Maybe not weren't interested. They weren't willing to negotiate the Lightning in season. He's the captain. He's been there forever. He's the best player in franchise history, most accomplished. And I mean,
okay, let me ask you this.
I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think
it's
going to be really,
really
interesting.
Do you think Steven Stamkos leaves Tampa Bay?
See, he's got a massive house there. I guess it just depends on like what type of lowball offer will they present to him. Like, just how low ball. It's going to be a low ball offer relative to his value. Guy scored 40 goals. Still a stud. Are they going to offer him, like, $3 million a year?
No.
Well, no. I mean, it's happened in the past. Like, I look at the Bergeron situation in Boston. Think about when Brad Richards signed in Chicago. And I think Stamkos is better at this point in time than Richards was when he signed with the Blackhawks. But I don't know. I'd be very curious. And I think for Tampa, the only real way they can compete with some of the top teams in the East is with more depth. And I know they lost Sergachev, which was a huge loss for them. Mm-hmm. But then they've still got some great players. But, I mean, Stamkos is going to be asked to take less money than he currently makes. Just a matter of how much less. He's worth $8.5 million for sure.
Well, with
on the open market.
He's having,
yeah,
sure.
He's got 40 goals. He scored again last
night. I honestly, you're making some great points. And I know he probably deserves.
He does.
Whatever contract he's asking for. But I just don't see him leaving Tampa. I mean, I go back to when he had a chance to leave Tampa last time. He went and met with all these other teams, and then he came back, and he's like, I just love life in Tampa. And I think that's ultimately what will make the decision for him. It probably won't be the contract that he wants, but it'll be one that makes both sides happy, and he stays in Tampa and finishes his career and cements his legacy there.
And you need to consider the fact that playing in Florida, let's say it's $5 million a year. In Toronto, that's the equivalent of $7 million a year when it comes to what
taxes.
It actually comes down after taxes. Now, living in Canada versus living in the United States is different. The currency exchange is a big part of it, too. the Canadian dollar not exactly thriving at the moment. So
no kidding.
that's another conversation for another day. This hour, first up, brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Get a free medium one-topping pizza with a $25 minimum purchase before tax and delivery. Online orders only. Visit 2for1pizza.com and use the coupon code FREEM. What's going on over there?
Well, we're giving away tickets in the next hour of the show.
Yes, we are.
And I'm just reading one of the texts that came into the show. Can I read it online?
Sure.
Somebody from Guelph didn't leave his name, saying, please pick me for the tickets. I've lined up a date with someone way out of my league, and I told them that we are going to the Leafs game. I cannot look like a pigeon and cancel.
Yeah, you're going to have to ante up in a major way. And if you're going like a first date,
if we had control over this, yeah, I'd happily pick you because I don't want you to look like a pigeon either. We only want peacocks on this show, but
it doesn't get much better. Like a first date. Oh yeah, by the way, we're going to the Leafs Bruins game 4 Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, wow, you are a baller, sir. Yeah. You're a baller. I'm like, sure am. But now
dollar bills, y'all.
You could be a huge pigeon. It's like, actually, we're not watching it at the rink. We're actually watching it at, you know, Shoeless Joe's or Monahan's in Oakville, and she would not be as impressed if that was the case. All right, hour 3 is coming up. We'll talk to Jody Shelley, who will be on the call tomorrow night, Leafs and Bruins, calling the game for the NHL on TNT, plus NFL draft talk with Mark Dominic, our Monday morning NFL analyst. But we're doing it on Friday, following the 2024 NFL draft round number 1 that went down last night. All that to come in hour 3, plus tickets.
Formula One lives on TSN with every race all season long. And with TSN Plus, go that extra mile with onboard cameras, pit lane channel, and more.
Boy, is it good here.
F1 lives on TSN and TSN Plus.